And we're back. Welcome back to Deep Thinking.
Number 30.
Number 30?
The last time you can trust us.
No way. Absolutely. Seriously?
Is that the last one was 29. I posted it up last night.
Right.
So that makes this one number 30.
Is that an Easter egg? The whole 30 thing?
If they don't, it could be, right? For some of our listeners, that might be the first time they're hearing it. So yes, it's an Easter egg.
God.
But you know what? We're going to give that one away. Because nobody, not one of you lazy mofos, has recognized an Easter egg and sent us a message.
What is that?
That's my phone ringing.
Okay. Anyway, he's Ed Sorbo from Lindemann Engineering. You can reach Mr. Sorbo at ellesuspension.com on the web. I'm Michael Gugis, and you can read my rantings on motorcycle road racing, the finest sport on the planet, and all other things at motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com. That's motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com. And you can also go buy some pictures at motorbikeroadracing.smugmug.com. I need some way of writing this shit off, and it needs to kind of look like a business.
I actually answered my phone during a podcast.
That was cool. And you told him, look,
I'm going to call him back.
I'm doing a podcast.
Oh, you know what? That's actually kind of neat. Before my grandmother passed away, she donated her body to the University of Washington.
Right.
And her brain to the University of Washington Brain Study.
Okay.
And this is a call about doing something with follow-up information.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. They called me after the autopsy and they told me all, and she was sharp, right? And there was no surprises. They're like, yeah, her brain's in perfect shape. She's like a brain of an 18-year-old, you know?
Wow.
It was kind of cool.
Oh, that's not that. I'm not sure if that's perfect shape because I know what I was thinking like at 18.
She did totally believe the contrail conspiracy bullshit thing, so she was susceptible. But, you know, it's interesting. People in that time frame, right? So my grandmother was born in like 03 or something like that.
Okay.
In her lifetime, she saw all the modern technology.
Right.
She went from where you didn't have it.
Right.
To where you had everything, right? Like she and her sister could tell me the first time they saw a car.
Right.
Right. They were walking down such and such a street in Seattle and a car drove by.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I guarantee we got no listeners who cars weren't always there. Right. And
right.
In fact, a lot of people nowadays, since they were born, people have always been able to go to the moon.
Right.
Right. You know,
it's a huge technological
change that's never happened again.
They went, no, that we like to say that, but the fact is we're going to be 90 and there's going to be shit happening going.
Yeah, but I don't think the difference from going from where nobody drove, there were no cars, there were no airplanes, there were no nothing, to there is though. The difference, that's an exponential change. Whereas you go from, you got an airplane to a faster airplane, that's only a small change.
You could make that argument. But the
I
fact,
did.
But the fact is that the amount of human knowledge is increasing exponentially.
That's true.
We might, you and I, in our
But it would
lifetime,
take like a jump to warp drive to equal the same
right,
kind
or,
of...
Right, or teleportation.
Okay.
Or,
which
you
I'm
know,
saying, both are unlikely to happen. And my current prediction streak has been pretty accurate, pretty good, much better than yours.
Well, what are you talking about?
Predictions about...
Lorenzo
being done.
Predictions about motorcycle road racing.
Yes,
you get lucky. You get lucky with one Spaniard. And
speaking of exponential changes.
Right. I hate this chair.
I warned you about it.
Nah,
stop leaning back. Sit up straight.
Ugh,
one of my plastic chairs is beginning to die.
Anyway, go on.
I don't remember the time frame exactly. But anyway, in the next short period of time,
right,
we will have to produce more food than all of the food we've produced since the beginning of agriculture,
right?
Because of the skyrocketing
increase in population
thing.
Right, but
it's
going to
make
smart.
A massive difference.
We're going to be smarter.
Good luck on that.
We're going to be eating plankton burgers that taste like top sirloin.
You know, when Facebook, you can have friends and you can see their posts all the time,
right,
and you're following them.
Right.
You can click off the following so you don't see their posts. And that's, you know, one way of not seeing bullshit,
right,
without unfriending them.
You know another way of doing it?
Is don't go to Facebook
don't
at all.
Don't have Facebook
yet.
At all.
So anyway, I have a college-educated friend who's raving against vaccinations. Now, this person has the benefit of vaccinations in this person's life, so I unfollowed that person. So I'm not so sure we can necessarily get smart enough to deal with all these problems. Because the overall totality average
doesn't say that everybody is smart enough.
Did you mention both of our websites?
Yeah.
Good. Cool.
Yeah. Let's.
Hey, you're an adult.
Let's say that we mentioned Ed's.
You're an adult, and you know that you should never run at a pool, and you understand why now, right?
Right.
As a kid, that's just a pain in the ass rule. I'm at the pool. I'm playing. What do you mean I can't run?
Exactly.
But you cannot run in a campground.
Why can't you run in a campground, Ed?
Because it's past tense, so you can only run.
Oh, dear God.
Now, understand, folks, he's groaning, but he's an English professor. And I guarantee you his students are going to have to put up with that joke.
No, they're not. I've given them the ham sandwich joke. They've suffered enough. Plus, I forced them to watch 30 minutes of a Schwarzenegger movie.
Hey, have you been on Facebook watching people's helmet camera video?
No, I don't watch Facebook. And the last thing in the world I want to do is watch another on-track camera.
So my point is about when they put the cameras on their helmet.
I don't care.
Well, check this out.
All right.
In most situations, when you have the camera mounted to your helmet and you crash the helmet, the camera's just going to get knocked clean off the helmet before any major, nothing, right?
Right.
But it would be possible to hit at the right angle so that the camera gets driven into your helmet,
right?
Thereby fracturing the fiberglass and possibly killing you and definitely giving you a greater likelihood of injury. So I would say it's not worth it, folks. Put the camera on the motorcycle with a tether. Don't put it on your helmet.
Well, okay. I guess we'd all figured that one out. I wouldn't have warned him. Darwinism, man.
Yes,
you know?
That's true.
Jeez, you know what? I'll watch a helmet-mounted cam video if you're using it while you're fucking. Okay?
You can't see the good stuff, then. Yeah,
hey, you know what? Maybe we could, depending on what they're doing with that helmet.
Three shows ago, I talked about the Rhino Fender.
Okay.
And I said the website wrong. I said it's Rhino Racing.
Right.
And then...
Did you get it wrong again?
On the show number 29, which I was listening to again last night while I was posting it, right? We got an email, and I made the correction, and the correction is wrong. It's not Rhino Racing, like I said twice now. It's rhinofender.com.
Rhinofender.com.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so those are the people who should be sending us some Hickory Farm shit, right?
There's a lot of people that should be sending us Hickory Farm shit.
All right, why were we talking?
You said we had topics and you could come up with stuff.
Okay, so did you hear about what happened in World Supersport with PJ's team?
Yeah, that's sad, but then he managed to...
Is he dead? Is the team okay? For those of you who don't know, PJ Jacobson
disappeared.
PJ Jacobson, one of the two American U.S. riders who are racing on the international level or high-profile international level. PJ is doing really, really well in World Supersport. People, you need to get behind this guy. He's a good kid, smart kid, totally professional. Anyway, about 2 weeks ago now, his team owner goes missing. And because all the equipment is in the team owner's name, the police padlock everything. They're like, no, this is not going anyplace. You know, we've seen this little game before, right? Anyway, PJ finds out, hey, guess what? The team calls him up and says, we're not going to Portugal. The Portugal round. PJ jumps ship.
I don't know if that counts as jump ship.
I think jump ship or pushed, one way or another.
Got in the lifeboat. He didn't have a choice.
Right. Gets on, signs up with another team, jumps on a Honda. He's never ridden a Honda CBR 600, as far as I know, in competition for a long time, if ever.
It's a motorcycle.
Yeah, right? How different could they possibly be? Puts a thing on the front row in qualifying and takes a third place finish. That's totally badass. Ed Sorbo, what's the most scandalous financial shit you've seen done by team owners that you could talk about without us getting shot?
the most scandalous one that I have direct involvement with, and this is the one that taught me a really important lesson early on, was a guy who's a pathological liar. I've actually seen him on the news in Hawaii a few years ago.
Really?
Lying again.
Yeah.
And got arrested for it.
Cool.
And, you know, he convinced my friends and I that, you know, he had all this money, and he even brought in fake bank statements and fake military awards. He claimed he had earned a Congressional Medal of Honor, and he had he must have copied it from somebody else and changed the names or whatever. And fortunately, we figured that out in large part because of Mike Kaufman, my business partner. He was the first guy to go, you know, this shit doesn't always add up with this guy. And he started not trusting him. And the reason people can pull this stuff off is that we want whatever it is we want so bad. We want to go to the Olympics. We want to race motorcycle, right? And so we are blinded to, you know, the, and I have come across a thing recently. We know we're getting more and more stuff with kids going racing.
Right.
So you got to wonder, you know, about unhealthy people around the young kids. And so the question is, how do you tell? And the answer is, okay, some guy, and he wants to offer you money to go racing and whatever, right? The question you have to ask is, how is this person going to make money doing this?
What's their motive?
And if there's no way for them to make money, then he's either a freak or he, you know, and it's possible that there, and there are people who genuinely have a bunch of money that they want to spend, having a good time, and this is what they want to do. And there's a few of those people.
Right.
And you just got to be smart enough to look for that evidence.
What's their motive?
Yep.
What are they going to get out of this?
Yep.
You know? And
if they're afraid of the conversation and they won't answer the questions
about
this stuff, then that probably
that's
is telling
a,
you.
That's a good warning
sign.
Yeah,
if the guy's a healthy guy who's got $1 billion and he wants to spend it before he dies, and you go, hey, dude, why are you spending all this money on me? And he goes, that's bullshit. But if he goes, you know, I got $1 billion and I don't want to die with the money, right?
Right, you got to spend it, can't take it with you.
So if the guy is racing himself and he, you know, and all that, and you can see a history.
He's real,
then you know. And if he just appeared out of nowhere.
That's suspicious.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what happens with these teams. You know, you see more of it on the world level because crazy people are drawn to the bigger glamour,
right?
They want to be on the stage and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes they might even have some resources, enough money to get started, and they think that it's going to work if they just get... That's always the worst thing, as you spend all the money you got in the hope that the other source of money is actually going to come.
And it doesn't.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Long time ago, I read a story of Baldwin, an interview with Mike Baldwin, and it was really smart. He told... What he did was he got a loan to pay for the bikes. And then he had the money that he had to pay for all the other stuff, travel and whatever.
Right.
He said most people do it the other way around. They spend all the money to get the bike, and then they can't get to the races. And I thought, oh, that's a smart thing to do. Now, I was never in a position to get a loan for any kind of racing. But Baldwin was winning on the national level, and so you could actually... And, you know, his family has money and whatever, so they had get a loan.
So he could secure the loan with the expectation of some winnings, which he was going to get because he had the money to get to all the rounds.
Well, and he already had a history of being able to win at those races, and purses were better back then, and bikes were cheaper and all that stuff.
And you can't.
So good on PJ for being able to find another team.
Yeah.
Bad on PJ and his supporters, his team, his people, for picking the guy, and worse on the team owner for bullshitting everybody.
Well, you don't know.
It is really hard.
He may well be dead. The first report was that he had committed suicide. And then they're like, you know, we've seen that story run too. So I think they're still looking for a body.
Something's going on, dude. When a normal regular person dies or commits suicide, there's a body. You find him. It's just not right.
Right.
It's in the weird world. You either ran away and you hid.
Right.
Or somebody came to collect and killed you.
Right.
Either way, you were doing stuff you probably wasn't going to be sustainable. Right.
The difficulty, and this is one of the challenges with motorcycle road racing. So much cash flows through here that unscrupulous people can use this to kind of launder.
Yeah, it's
stuff,
a
launder. Right.
Well, all forms of racing are that way, right?
Yeah. I mean,
nobody blinks at a team that's losing money hand over fist. That's what teams do.
That's the definition of racing.
And so, if you want to launder a bunch of money,
exactly.
Boy, you know, that's the.
You can reach us at motorbikeroadracing.com.
Well, we talked about the crack sponsorship before, right? And we were joking, but it has happened.
Oh.
Not necessarily crack, but other.
Yeah.
Forms of drugs.
Well,
and
you know
like
what?
That.
Part of me is like, and it always seems to revolve around the Colombian racers, and that's just because of our stereotype about Colombians. We know nothing of Colombia. Did you know that?
You know, we're the ones consuming all that drug,
you know,
and screwing up their country.
So we say. Okay, that's the stereotype. Did you know that last year Forbes magazine rated Colombia as one of the top places for U.S. citizens to retire overseas? They said stable government, great climate, no more drug money running the place. You know, and you kind of wonder, if that's the case now, how much of that really was just some bullshit, you know? Anyway, I digress. The fact is that, like you said, nobody blinks when people show up with cash at the racetrack.
Nobody wants to blink.
Look the other way.
You want to spend that money.
You know, they want you to spend that money.
No, I want to spend that money.
I bought tires. You know, you buy a stack of tires for an endurance race, right? And it's like, here's $2,500. And they go, ooh, that sounds good. You know, we'll just ignore the fact that you're wearing a bloody smock. You know, it's like, right this way, sir.
Speaking of bloody smocks.
Now there's a transition.
I nearly sliced my finger open the other day on a sharp foot peg. And I was fortunate because we have fingernails. And so I caught my fingernail and cut the end of my fingernail. Instead of actual flesh. And of course, we've all heard stories from people who have cut. So really sharp foot pegs are a relatively new phenomenon.
And a totally bad idea.
And they come about, well, not totally bad. They come about because your foot slipped off the peg and scared the crap out of you. And then you didn't want that to happen again. And sharp foot pegs prevent that to happen. But my point is simply that, you know, you can have a peg that's sharp enough that your foot doesn't slide, right? Because your foot slid off because it was some polished, smooth surface or there's oil on it or whatever. And overreacting, so, you know, causes more trouble. So the example is your foot slid off the peg and it scared you. You didn't run off the track. You didn't crash. It just startled you.
Right.
And you trade that for stitches 6 months later, right? It's to the point where I have plastic handle thingies that go on the end of pieces of pipe.
Right.
When I put it, I have those that I stick over sharp foot peg bikes whenever they're here so I don't walk by and slice my arm open.
That makes sense.
So my point is if you have really sharp foot peg bikes, take a file or some sandpaper to them and get the part off that cuts you open and leaves the part that hangs onto your boots, because needing 3 stitches at the racetrack, it kind of messes up your weekend.
No doubt.
Yeah.
The, what was I going to say? Woodcraft Technologies, whom we love, they sell the little plastic plugs for the ends of the round pegs, and they'll fit down near, I think, anyone. You use your dead blow mallet, hammer it into place, they're good.
Yeah, that's like the part of the peg that cuts people.
What's the part that
cuts
people?
It's the part you put your foot on.
The actual knurled part?
No, the knurled ones don't cut you. It's the ones that are like knife edges that do it.
I don't remember which brand it was. I remember Tanya Davidson had some, and they were vicious.
So when you watch MotoGP,
yes,
on the Yamahas, they got the camera at the back looking forward, and they got the big fisheye lens so you can see the rider moving around and you can see ahead.
Right.
And there's a big giant nut on the back of the tail section right behind the rider on the Yamahas, right? I finally found out what that big giant nut is for. It's actually tiny. It's a regular 8mm or 10mm head titanium bolt. It's got holes drilled in it for light.
Yeah, because titanium's so heavy.
And what it is, it's the bolt that holds the whole seat platform down onto the tail section.
The whole seat platform
is separate on the Yamaha.
Huh.
And so underneath there, I assume, is there some electronics or something, the battery, whatever.
Or
the reason I finally found out what was going on is that there was a mechanic for Rossi's team standing in the pits holding this thing that looked like the seat. It had foam on it. It's blue.
Right.
And Rossi came in, jumps off the bike. They unscrewed that bolt. They lifted off the seat he had. They put a different seat on, and they bolted back on and drove off. So doing a back-to-back comparison of some difference in the
position.
Seat foam or whatever.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
And I'm like, that's what the bolt is, and it only looks big because the camera lens is so damn close to it.
That's what factory support buys you. Because you and you and I both know it. Riding position makes a difference.
It's
riding
huge.
Makes you, and you know, when you can change little things like that, and you only do it when the rest of the bike is perfect. When the rest of the bike is perfect and you've got money left over, then you can do stuff like that.
Well, these guys planned it from the beginning,
But my point is that's what makes a difference between factory bikes and non-factory bikes. That's what gets you, that's what having that extra money
is.
It's those intangibles that get you that last 1 or 2%.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know about that, because you could find the correct seat position in a test day other ways. If it took you 2 minutes to change the whole seat assembly tail section instead of 30 seconds, that wouldn't hurt you then. What?
But then you have to have a whole seat section assembly.
Yeah, well, people have that.
Right, but that's money.
Yeah,
that's
I'm saying it's not the lap time thing that you got. It's the time that you saved coming in and out of the pits to be able to do it that way.
Yeah. You know, and that gets you more time on the track, more time for testing.
There's other ways to solve this same problem without spending the money Yamaha spent to do that. But I just wanted to answer the question of what the hell was that big giant bolt.
But it takes time. It takes time, and time is money. Yes. I've heard that ever since I was about 18 minutes old. My dad's yelling at me. You know, son, you have to start pulling your weight around here.
I think you're exaggerating a wee bit on the 18 minutes.
Perhaps. What time is it? How are we doing on time?
19. It's time for the two-minute warning.
Okay. Hey,
2-minute board.
I have a 2-minute board.
Okay, good.
Okay, it's a little bit of a shout-out to the past. And it's because my students are all 18 and 19 years old who are completely convinced that now they are here, that everything is going to be different. And the first time they experience things is any time.
Everything's new.
Everything's new to them.
Did you know that you can do it in more than just a missionary position?
Jesus Christ, you know, but boy, mention doggy style once or twice in class and watch how much the disciplinary earrings. Ugh. Anyway, I digress. So they all wanted to talk about Caitlyn Jenner. All my students, right?
Who's Caitlyn Jenner?
That's why I had to ask. It is what Bruce Jenner has become.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so they're like, this is a huge deal. This is going to change everything. And so, and why is this relevant to motorcycle road racing? Because I pulled up. What?
Good question. Why is it relevant?
Because I pulled up the Wikipedia page on Michelle Duff.
Yes, this is old news.
Yes, exactly. I kept telling him, this is not new. And for those of you who do not know who Michelle Duff is, Michelle Duff is Michael Duff, or Mike
was.
Duff, who is a 3-time Grand Prix winner.
Yep.
3-time GP winner. And the best part about that story, I've read a couple of things about her life, is that she was still doing track days in her 60s. And she was bloody fast. And the other guys, the other riders, would come into the pits looking for whoever was tearing around them on the outside of turns on this old bike. And she'd pull off her helmet and they were like, oh my God, it looks like my grandma. That is so freaking cool. I can't even tell you. So that was my 2-minute board. And it reminds me, when I get a brilliant ass idea about how to make my bike faster, I always think to myself, maybe somebody else has had this idea before.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to do a little research to find out whether or not, you know, somebody else has thought of this and there's a kit that I can buy online for $12. Or somebody has tried it and gone, yeah, man, and when I got done tumbling, you know
the fun of new ideas, though, is trying them and finding out and stuff like that. So, you know,
I'm not entirely sure of that.
Discovery is the thing.
Discovery is good, but researching whether or not somebody has done this before and now they're calling him Stumpy is also important.
Well, for sure. I mean, doing something crazy, like jumping off a cliff without seeing if the lake's full first, but... discovery is the thing that drives, you know?
Experimenting, but you just got to make sure it's new areas, okay? I bought my first...
It's new to you, man.
I bought
it's
my...
like they say when you, if you're watching a movie. That movie came out 12 years ago.
Well,
yeah, but I never saw it.
I've never seen it, granted. But still, don't you just feel like an idiot? I cut my thumb on a chainsaw once.
You know,
once.
Even when...
that's, okay?
A lot of people do that. But, even when you know... the outcome of the result,
okay,
right? Doing the experiment still makes it your knowledge rather than just reading about it. It's not the same. That's why in school they have kids do experiments that we've been doing for, you know, forever.
I granted all of that. All I'm saying is maybe before you jump out of a plane without a parachute, do a little research
into
the statistics.
Video of it first.
Exactly. Do a little research on what's happened in the past. Hey, he's Ed Sorbo.
He's Michael Gugis.
Aloha.